Sox Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? You want to be a part of the program? You can. If you're listening live, 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more product, more awesome. Details at DunbarLumber.com. Canucks 0-1-2 to start their campaign. But for as bad as that sounds, Sat, nothing is worse than what I went through this afternoon.
What happened this afternoon?
I've been having some tech issues.
Okay.
I couldn't log into my email from home. We have this like multi-step verification system as Rogers employees and
multi-factor authentication.
Yeah. So I've been struggling with this for a couple of days, and our fearless leader Cam told me who to contact to help me out with this.
Okay.
That was a tough phone call, man. Like Alan, who's the nice enough guy to be helping me out through these issues, he was like telling me to do stuff, and I'm like, man, you gotta like slow down here, okay? I'm like, I'm looking for the button. I don't know. It's telling me it doesn't work. Telling me to retry. I'm like sweating. After I was done, like Cam and Josh were just like, man, you look like you're in a rough spot.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like.
So, like, you, is it all sorted now? How long did it take?
It took about 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
For something that should have taken, like, literally two.
Well, I mean, you celebrated your 15 years in the company, so 15 minutes of your time.
I felt bad for Alan, though. You know, he was like, he was like working with a child. That's what it was, you know? And I consider myself, not that I'm, like, the most tech-savvy person, but I shouldn't be that bad, you know? It was like me guiding my parents through email for the first time in the 90s, you know? Like, that's kind of what it felt like. It was tough. It was a tough watch,
you've entered,
man.
That stage of your life where it's like everything is too complicated for you?
Pretty much. Just scan the QR code. I'm trying. It's not working.
I swear. Oh, my camera's not on. No
yeah, problem. And yeah. That's kind of what's happening with the Canucks. They're trying. It's just not working right now. Let's get to the open.
Welcome to the open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yeah, it's the open where we give you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And right now, things are not great for the defending Pacific Division champions. They have started the season 0-1-2. Their first regulation loss coming last night to the Tampa Bay Lightning. A 4-1 loss decisively to the Lightning, who got out to an early lead and were never really in danger of losing it. And, you know, for the first time this season, the Canucks start poorly, and that is what they have trouble recovering from. It's a little bit of everything going on here, Sat, with this team right now, where they kind of feel like a mediocre baseball team when the hitting's going, the pitching isn't. And when the pitching's going, the hitting isn't. That's kind of how I feel about the Canucks through the first three games. Like, there's some elements that are going okay, you know? Like, the penalty kill looks good. They've scored a few power play goals. Like, there's some things that are fine, that are working. It's just not everything is clicking. And certainly, there are things more than others that are taking the spotlight, but where do you think things are going wrong for the Canucks right now?
Well, I think the main thing, and everybody knows this, stars have to be stars.
Yeah.
And so far, the Canucks stars, their biggest stars, haven't been their stars. And I know a lot of the conversation has been around Elias Pettersson, who undoubtedly has to be better. But even beyond him, it's not like we're talking about Hughes being at his best. JT's had some moments, but it's not like he's at his best. Brock's had some moments. He's had some struggles. Jake DeBrusk is still finding his way, trying to figure out how things are going to work in Vancouver. Hronek, some good, some bad, right? So these are the Canucks' best players, and you can't single one out and say, oh, this player's been fantastic since the first game of the season. The only guy you can point to who's a top six caliber player is Connor Garland.
Yeah. Garland's got a point in all three games.
He's been good in every game.
He's been their most consistent, their best forward. Yeah. And you know, that's good for Connor Garland. It's good that the Canucks have Garland going, but you know, it's part of the reason they're 0-1-2. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of like part of the issue. But
yeah.
I don't think all those guys are going to lay dormant all season.
Yeah.
Especially not number 40, who's the biggest topic of conversation.
So, okay. We immediately dive into the Pettersson conversation.
I really don't want to, because I mean that's essentially all I've been talking about on the post game show, with the amount of Pettersson reaction we get on the post game show.
But it is all this fan base can talk about right now.
Yeah, it's
or
fair.
Seems to care about.
Yeah, but I mean, like, and it's true. We'll talk about him, but like, I do think there's a disservice to the reality of the situation focusing solely on him.
Yeah.
When their other stars right now haven't found their game either. Like, there's not this like huge discrepancy between like, oh, look how JT's playing, look how Pettersson's playing.
No.
You know, like,
that's
game
not
one,
right,
sure.
Yeah.
Moments in game one, but beyond that, no.
JT's had a tough start. Obviously, the first game, he still found a way to have a Gordie Howe hat trick. The last two, he's had the turnovers. He's had some of the not great back checks. You know, like, there's that part of JT where he just doesn't look like he's as sharp as the Canucks need him to be. It is somewhat exacerbated by the fact that Pettersson isn't going, and the Canucks have neither of their top two centermen clicking right now. And when that happens, like, yeah, on paper, the Canucks have two of the best centermen in the National Hockey League. They have a top two center duo that most other teams around the league would absolutely love to have. But when neither of them are going, it really, you really feel it on this roster. And you look at last night, more so than the Calgary game and the Philly game, because with respect to those teams, I guess outside of Huberto and a couple of pieces on Calgary, you know, they don't have the top end talent that the Canucks have, or certainly that the Tampa Bay Lightning have. But a lot of last night comes down to, like, yeah, the Canucks top six got absolutely bullied by the Tampa Bay Lightning top six.
Yeah, and as much as we talk about better chance generation and doing, you know, the offense having to get better, it comes down to your best players playing better. If Pettersson and JT, their lines are going more consistently, they will generate more scoring chances.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think will come, because we've seen it from the so-called third line. They've generated plenty. The fourth line last night struggled. They weren't great. But they've shown some moments where you think they can do some stuff in terms of a fourth line role. It all comes down to the top six. Like, that's what it comes down to. And of course, Pettersson's the guy. What's been interesting, though, is what people are focusing on with Pettersson. I do think there are a lot of things people are focusing on that are garnish. And it's like, you're worried about garnish, bro. Like, the meat and potatoes need to be better. Like, that's where I'm at. Like Pettersson needs to elevate his game.
Yeah.
Like, you see he's not assertive. You see he's not confident. That has to come back, right? I think if that comes, the rest of his game will be fine. The things that are being focused on, like a PK shift or whether he should have been out 6-on-5 or not, I mean, those things make me roll my eyes, because I don't think any of those things are indicative. And I think people are making a mountain out of a molehill. That's what I think.
I know the clip you're talking about, a lot of people have pointed it out. Friend of the show, Don Taylor, was talking about it on Canucks Talk this afternoon in their crossover. And it's a PK shift, you know, and it's essentially a 2-on-2, and he's got Derek Forbert with him. Like, I don't know. And at that point, it's a 1-0 game. Are you going to take that big of a chance to potentially risk a 3-on-2 or an odd man rush going back the other way, taking yourself out of the play? Like, that's what he's, you know, fighting against there. He doesn't want to take too big of a chance that early in the game when it's still just a one-goal game to me.
Yeah, and to me, like, when you look at the play, too, you have to give credit to how Tampa's defending it. Moser does a good job of first shading over towards the net. So if he cuts towards the net, he's going to run into Moser. And he kind of backs off when he sees Shirelli come in on the inside. And Shirelli's on the right side of the puck, coming in on his forehand. So if he turns forehand, he's going to be able to dive right into him. So it's not an is simple play, you know what I mean? And it's 30 seconds into a PK shift.
Yeah.
And you're trying to put the puck in a good spot. Now, I think, to me, could he have done more to waste time in the offensive zone instead of just throwing the puck around? Okay, sure. But in terms of driving towards the net or generating a scoring chance, when Derek Forbert is the guy going in the middle who's being defended by a Tampa Bay Lightning, there isn't a lot there you can do outside of trying to kill some time.
I know, like, the first period was very bad for the Canucks last night. And I, for as much as Tocchet didn't want to hear that as an excuse after the game, and I get that, like, you shouldn't be having excuses this early in the season, but I also know the years of history of West Coast teams flying over to the East Coast and having slow starts and having that first game be a bit tougher. I was not expecting the Canucks to have a good first period. No. And I was expecting Tampa to have a fire lit under their you-know-whats, and that's exactly what happened.
For sure, 100%. And we get this text here saying, are you guys kidding me? 6-on-5 and your almost $12 million player is on the bench? Come on, honesty, please.
I thought this initially at first, but you pointed it out pregame or pre-show.
Honesty, if you guys want honesty, mm-hmm. be honest with yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And go back and watch the last 3.5 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
The reason Pettersson was not on the ice on the 6-on-5 is because he was on the ice the shift right before JT and those guys got on and then went 6-on-5. And people say, why did it not call a timeout to get Pettersson a rest to have him out on the 6-on-5? It's 2:47 left.
Mm-hmm.
You're down 2 goals. You probably want to keep the guys that are on for as much as possible, right? So do you call the timeout now? With 2:47 to go, with 2 goals down? Or do you wait, try to go 6-on-5, maybe you get a goal, generate some offense, maybe then you call a timeout, then you get PD on, and you have him on for the final 90 seconds.
Yeah.
The reason he wasn't on the ice is because he was on the previous shift, and there's 2:47 left, there's 2 goals down, you don't go all in at 2:47 for mm-hmm. 1 goal.
Yeah.
Come on, you want honesty? Please be honest with yourselves, please.
Yeah, it's a problem. You know, like you say, there's some things with the Pettersson conversation that are very valid and some others that are just over-the-top hyperbole. And I think that's one of those things. You go back and watch it, you'll clearly see that's why Pettersson isn't on the ice for the start of the 6-on-5 sequence. And they're still down 2 goals. They're going to need all of that 230, 257, whatever it was, to try and get back into the game and score 2 goals.
Again, Pettersson needs to be better.
Yeah.
He has to be a lot better. He needs to score. He needs to be more assertive. He missed two grade A chances, whiffed mm-hmm. on one. That's not the Pettersson you're used to seeing. To me, the focus is on that. These other things, they're not the reason, man. Yeah. They're not the reason.
No, and part of it is like a complete lack of finish. And it's not just on Pettersson's end. Like, there was multiple moments. And sure, you got Vasilevskiy on the other end, but some of the things, it's just like the composure in front of the net is just not there for this team. DeBrusque set up Pettersson for 2 great chances from below the goal line, sets him up right in front. Pettersson whiffs on one, and the other, he shoots over the net. You have the Aturatu breakaway where he just completely whiffs on the deke. Garland has that chance at the end of the second to make it a 2-1 game going into the third. He hits the post. Besser, 30 seconds later or a minute later, has that great slap pass chance from JT, and he gets a great tip on it. Hat tip. Andre Vasilevskiy makes a great incredible save to keep that game at 2-0 going into the third. But there's just after the first 20, they did generate a good amount of chances.
They
lacked finish on those chances.
Again, you're right. You're top guys. Garland isn't able to tuck it in, hits the post. And they had a number of chances there where they needed to, finish, and they didn't finish those chances off. It's 3 games in.
Yeah.
And honestly, the reason we can't just say it's 3 games, everybody chill, is because we can't do 2 hours just saying, chill. So we got to talk about what's going on. But the reality is, it's 3 games in.
Yeah.
It's way too early, like we said yesterday, to draw any massive conclusions. But the reason the Canucks have struggled so far is because structurally, they haven't been great at times,
mm-hmm.
and their best players haven't been their best players.
Well, it's funny because it was the fourth game of the year last year where the Canucks lost in Tampa Bay. And it was the fourth game. They started the season where they beat the snot out of Edmonton for the first two and then lose to Philly, lay an egg. Again, first game of an Eastern road swing, laid an absolute egg in Philly last year, and then go to Tampa, play better, but lose. So through 4 games, they had 4 points, and people were really worried after that Tampa loss, right? And we remember it well because, we think back to how fans reacted in the moment. But you know what, Sat? If they beat Florida on Thursday, this is 4 points through 4 games. And it's not the end of the world. It's a totally normal start to the season.
Yeah. 100%. Right? And I think if that's what you have by the end of it, how much concern is there really about where things are going with the team?
There's really not. It's That's why I'm trying to stay away from the overreactions. Went for a nice seawall run today, you know, took in the sun. I thought it was going to be raining today. It wasn't. But instead of waking up, rewatching the game and being angry about it, I went for the seawall run and I thought a little bit more clearly about things. And it's like, you know what? They win tomorrow. They are 4 points through four games. It's exactly the same as where they were last year. You're not going to be perfect out of the gate unless you're the Calgary Flames right now. But there's clearly things that they have to clean up. Their top players have to be better. They're lacking some finish. And another thing, major defensive breakdowns.
Well, and I think that's the thing that, for all the focus on the defense, and sure, I think Noah Juulsen had a really tough game, and you can really look at his game last game. I thought he was good against the Flyers, struggled last game, but that's really the main issue why they've been giving up these goals. And if you look at, if you break down every single goal the Canucks have given up, the vast majority of them are from defensive rotation mistakes by forwards, or them not being in the right spot, right? So Juulsen falls down, for sure, on that first goal, but you see the coverage afterwards. Like, nobody protects the rail. They always talk about the rail, you know, the imaginary line across the hash marks between the circles. Nobody's covering it. And that's something that is like a non-negotiable. Somebody has to be on that rail no matter what. They don't do it on that one. Go through all the other goals they scored. There was the one, I guess, you can maybe put on Myers a little bit, and the one empty netter.
Yeah.
But the other one was another breakdown. It was the goal on the point goal. Now, you can blame, perhaps, and we'll talk to Woodley about this, should Shilovs have had that or not. I thought it was a tough shot, but I think goalie experts have a better idea of whether that's a bad goal or not. But that all happens in the offensive zone because Suter and Sherwood have no idea who to take. You see the confusion on their face in the offensive zone, and the next thing you know, it's the easiest entry with speed, and nobody knows who to cover. Yeah. And Susie's trying to do his best, and then Sherwood and Susie end up on the same side in front of the net when somebody's supposed to be in the lane in front of Braden Point. And that's the forwards. It's not the defensemen.
It's a completely unimpeded entry for the Lightning's top line with Gensel and Point. You know, Suter and Sherwood are both on the right side of the ice. There's clearly confusion in their coverages going back the other way. You can even go back and look at the tape and see Suter essentially point to Sherwood and be like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And then Sherwood makes a beeline to the open end of the ice and just never really recovers from there. He finds himself, like, he gets back, but he's not covering anybody where he ends up getting back to.
Does it get in anybody's space, right? Yeah. And if you're not taking anybody, what are you doing? And those things, to me, will get cleaned up because I don't think it's a lack of effort.
Yeah.
I think it's confusion and just not knowing where to be and what to do.
It's an interesting process, like looking through some of the goals and some of the major breakdowns that they had in the first period. You know, right from the get-go, the first point chance, it's like nobody's protecting the guts of the ice. That happened on a couple of occasions where you're putting your goalie in a really bad spot. The defensive zone coverage, as Rick Tocchet sort of alluded to after the first game, maybe we spent a little too much time trying to evolve our game and not working on what made us so successful last year. Because that's, you know, and not that they were perfect out of the gate last year either, but they ended up getting results through the first 10 games. And I'm sure, you know, some wins are coming down the line for Vancouver. But yeah, we didn't see these types of breakdowns early on last season.
No, although, I mean, like that game against the Flyers, because last night's first period reminded me of the first period the Canucks played against the Flyers.
Right.
Third game last year. So they started against Edmonton 1-8-1. They go to Edmonton for game two and get thoroughly outplayed. But DeSmith is incredible. Canucks get timely goals. They win that game. And the difference in that game from what we saw against the Flyers in game two of this season, the Canucks were under duress, but they didn't fall apart in front of their goal. Like, they were good at protecting in front of their net. They were good at their rotations. Their structure was strong, but they were under siege for much of the game. All that went out the window game three on the road, the second road game of that trip against the Flyers, which was very reminiscent of what we saw in the first period against Tampa. Now, unlike that Flyers game, the Canucks actually fought back and did something in the second and third. They were completely out of that game against the Flyers. And I remember post-game, Rick Tocchet had a lot of choice words for where the team was at. He was far more critical of how the Canucks played after that game than anything we've heard so far through three games. And then they go to Tampa for game four, and they lose.
Yeah.
They play better, but they lose.
Mm-hmm.
Game four is coming up for the Canucks against the Florida Panthers. They win, like you mentioned, they'll be in the same spot they were last year in terms of points through four games. And overall, there'll be some similarities, but perhaps structurally not as sound. But we'll see what they look like against Florida.
Kevin and West Kelowna, don't you think Pettersson's attitude and demeanor, whether on the ice or sitting on the bench, is something to do with the criticism he gets? He looks like he doesn't care, and play looks like it as well. Look, Kevin, you're entitled to your opinion. Would for a player, if a player doesn't care, would they show up early to practice and stay out late in the way that Pettersson did on Saturday?
No, I mean, I don't think those,
like,
things again.
Like, what? How do you define a person showing that they care? Like, it's just hard for me to gauge that.
Well, here's the thing: like, you show that you care.
Yeah,
I guess a JT thing 2 years ago. It's like, oh, look at him. You can't keep your composure.
Yeah,
you're losing your cool. You're being angry. But if you don't show any emotion, it's like, why aren't you showing emotion? So, if you're not happy with how a player is performing, I don't think there's anything the player can do in terms of their demeanor and their behavior that's going to make you feel better. The only thing that's going to make you feel better is that player performing better. Because if he's not performing better, and if he's being too cool, you'll say he needs to be more fiery. If he's not performing well and he's being too fiery, you're going to say he needs to be more cool. Ultimately, you got to play better. And that's why I think it's just people expressing their frustrations as opposed to that really being an issue.
And ultimately, and again, back to what the Canucks' biggest issue is right now, I know why a lot of people are focused on Pettersson. It's because Pettersson starts playing well, it fixes a lot of the Canucks' issues and certainly papers over some of the defensive breakdowns they've been having, some of the spotty goaltending that's been going on. They need Pettersson to get going. That is definitely one of the issues right now. All right, let's get to the Canucks Central Roundup. Canucks in Florida tomorrow. They did practice today, though there was no traveling media at the practice. There was a couple availabilities. Hughes, Pettersson, and Miller all spoke, along with Coach Rick Tocchet. There was just the Canucks reporter Olivia McDonald to ask the questions there, and didn't get any line updates, so we don't know if Tocchet is continuing to tinker with his forward group for the time being, but they are tinkering with the roster. Atu Ratu assigned to Abbotsford, and the Branchise, I think, as people have called him in the past. Eric Brännström is getting called up from Abbotsford.
I'll still be surprised if we see him play against the Florida Panthers. And I think that
generally Tocchet doesn't get guys in until they've practiced.
And honestly, if he plays before the road trip is out, I would be somewhat surprised. Number one, I think Desharnais gets in first. Mm-hmm. And if they, depends on how they play against the Panthers. Now, you called this yesterday. You said yesterday, Reach, that you did not see the Canucks beating the Tampa Bay Lightning. You talked about, hey, that first game back, the emotional edge. And a lot of those things you said were true. Like, you did not feel good about the Canucks winning yesterday.
No.
But what you did also do was guarantee the Canucks are going to win on Thursday against the Panthers.
This might be like your guarantee of Kiefer Sherwood scoring 40 goals this year. But the Canucks are in a favorable spot tomorrow against the Florida Panthers, who will be returning from a road trip, and they will be playing their third game in four nights. Plus, they don't have Sasha Barkov, and Matthew Tkachuk is also expected to not play with an illness. So, I mean, if you were looking for a layup against the Florida Panthers, the defending Stanley Cup champions, this is as close as you are going to get. But you're right. I don't think Eric Brännström is going to be in the lineup for when the Canucks beat the Florida Panthers tomorrow.
And I think you have to be patient with him, too, and depends on how he gets utilized. He's a lefty defenseman who can play the right side, but defensively has had some issues. He's not the biggest player, which, again, is something we know this coaching staff. So I just be careful with expectations and how much he'd play out of the gate. And, hey, I'm hopeful he can do something because they need a puck mover out there, right? Like, they do need that.
I mean, seeing some of the clips out of Abbotsford in his couple of games over the weekend, the guy looks like a junior player dropped into a D division of a beer league. Like, it's kind of crazy the stuff that he can do, but there's a reason why he's never found a job to stick in the National Hockey League. So keep that in mind. Kevin Woodley is going to join us coming up. His take on Artur Shilov's start to the season and where the Canucks are going wrong. Is it on defense? Is it a lack of chance generation? A little bit of everything. We'll get to Kevin Woodley next on Sportsnet 650.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.